welcome and hello to you.
We
are gathered here today to get through this thing called life, and also because a surly gentleman called screaming at us, mostly incoherently, about children shitting on his lawn and asking us for a movie that was about dreams, well, morally nightmares, being the reality of life and how dreams are our escape. So I have recommended a film called Arch Enemy, our arch enemy, but mostly arch enemy because there's a little anime in this movie.
Oh, at the Japanimation, I really must say.
We are talking
not
about.
To be confused with Arch Enema.
No, but there, well, I mean, kind of. It depends how much blood of the universe you take into you. Cosmic blood.
Oh, speaking of which.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about some surreal shit that I actually enjoy, knowing that I don't really care much for surreal shit. So, well, there are some that call me Tim, the Destroyer, but I'm also just Tim. I'm Donnie.
My name is Linda, and I guess I'm the Cosmic Cheese.
Well, nobody ever taught me to live out on the street, but I guess I'm going to have to get used to it, or I'm Adrian.
The can that you were drinking from looked like, for listeners who are watching on YouTube, you get this. It looked kind of like a, what do you call it, a Pillsbury dough can.
I would do that.
When you're just like slurping like some biscuit dough.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie. I'm just one of the girls, you know, eat some cookie dough, drink some cooking sherry. That's me, man.
Yeah. But I pound back dough. A few Hungry Jacks, man. No problem with that.
I had the Angry Jacks.
extra flaky buttery.
So, Arch Enemy.
Arch Enemy.
It's what happens when you decide that doing methamphetamines recreationally is your every night thing. And I do mean every night thing.
Who
it's
doesn't?
About a man who used to be a horny werewolf that banged some blonde on another show. And this time his name is Max Fist, which is a very sexy name.
Which should be part of Arch Enema, right?
Maximum Fist, baby.
Maximum Fisting.
He can see through walls.
He can. He can see into our very souls.
Yeah.
But he is a man who,
if you pay him a bottle of booze or a couple, because his tolerance is different, you'll learn a spoiler. He supposedly is a superhero from another world, but technically not another world, just a world that mirrors ours, but is not the same, but is the same. They're different, but the same.
Say super like, just one goddamn more time. You'll see what happens.
It's yes, like ours, not, but not at all.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not at all ours, but it is ours.
But it's like
it's
exactly
not.
Like ours.
No, it's, see, yeah, it's
the same,
it's,
but different.
It's just the same, you know, like how in one world, you got the Crystal Cave, and the other one, you have an empty Ralph's that they say is a shopping mall.
Yes, and any clothing you find at all in a dumpster is magical and imbued with power.
In that it'll fit
you. So, Max is kind of just chilling off on space and Earth and talking to people about his adventures, and a boy we will name Hamster Man decides that this is interesting enough that he should be reporting on him and make him a comic book character, because why not?
It's not like Laser Cats. It's real.
Yes, but Laser Cats are real, at least in the CIA, and that's all you need to know.
And they are super.
Yeah.
They are not super.
Cute.
They are just laser cats.
No, it ain't super. It's quantum physics and shit. Duh. Yes.
It's meth.
It's part of Dr. Samuel Beckett's plan, okay? We just have to stick with Dr. Samuel Beckett's plan.
It's a seven-dimensional penis.
But there's a lot going on here because we have Max Fist talking about his adventure time in another world that is our world but isn't our world, but it's similar, but it's different, and at the same time, similarly the same. We also have Hamster and his sister, who are dealing with reality. Life is a never-ending, crushing horror show.
His sister named Indigo.
Which is why she got her hair all that color and stuff.
Love it. That's the coincidence
that her name is Indigo and she dresses in indigo blue. It is just amazingly coincidental.
She got it at Ross.
She is a unwilling drug affiliate, we'll say, are working for a outside pharmaceutical company that meets the needs of those who cannot afford pharmaceutical needs properly. They go to alternate revenue.
She provides a service.
Yes, she does. And she gets a promotion, which is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my life.
From her and boss, she deals the manager. With her
first job on a promotion.
Yeah.
But things ensue, and we get to go on a wonderfully colorful journey where we have to ask ourselves, as all surreal films make you ask yourself, what the fuck is real and what the fuck is not? Because, oh my God, is this movie a wonderful, colorful mess of heroin.
They got them colors.
They do.
You know
one
what?
Thing I really
it's real
appreciate.
When you see your blood splatter all over the sidewalk. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. One thing that I really appreciate about this film is that they cast a bunch of people in roles that you typically wouldn't see them in.
Yeah.
Like, you have Dennis from It's Always Sunny being the bad guy, being the bad drug dealer. What? And then you have Paul Shearer as the...
Snort some. Snort some right now. Be nice. You're in my house. Here, right off my finger. Snort some. Oh,
God. That's Paul Shearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Paul Shearer being the weird-ass, tatted up, almost naked.
He's got a tattoo around his head, like razor wire tattooed around his head. You know?
It's pretty amazing. Like,
you're being rude right now. Yeah, do some blow. Come on.
Well, I mean, she was like, if you go into somebody's house and they offer you blow, you take the blow.
Yeah. You kind of have to.
She's seen those movies where like Charlie Sheen or somebody has to like go all narc undercover and stuff like that. Like if you don't snort the coke, they're going to figure out that you're an undercover cop or some shit and then you will be dead. Do the coke.
Yeah. Shit, I didn't know you liked to get wet.
But yeah, I really liked that it was surprising with its casting, and yeah. I really enjoyed that. And then there are a bunch of people that haven't really had like established acting careers yet in mm-hmm. there as well. And I really liked that too.
Absolutely.
This was almost a Nicolas Cage movie.
I know, and that's what really got me interested in this, too, when I was told that Nicolas Cage was supposed to play the part of Max Fist.
And it makes
this
sense.
This would have been amazing.
Yeah,
this sounds like it would be like a perfect
It seems like it was Cage written film. For him.
It does, but at the same time, I'm glad that we got who we got instead. Because
yeah.
both people could have pulled it off magnificently, and it still would have been the same exact movie.
But instead, it's voice actor, man.
Because, I mean, honestly, it really would have been amazingly fun to see Nicolas Cage fist fight a fucking car. Because that would have been just amazingly
But just follow him around for a couple days and you'll see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the same thing with seeing him just punching his fist into a back alley wall. I mean, it's just... trying to get into the universe, man.
That's how you get in. Yeah, it's just like Buckaroo Banzai. You know, you hit hard enough.
Well, yeah. Well, as we learn later in the movie, that's exactly what happens, because after taking the cosmic blood that helps him with his powers, he punches through a wall and he can indeed see the other world.
That's true. It's all red over
but
there.
But not.
And by the way, this was a Legion M, another Legion yes. M film.
With help from people that worked on Mandy, also wanted to bring this wonderful tale to life.
Elijah Wood was part of the people who backed this. So yeah,
Elijah bless him for loving making shitty movies and wonderful things.
Elijah Sorry, Wood ride his corpse down a mountain.
What
we would if we could.
He did that movie. Yeah.
He did.
He did.
Are we talking about Arch Enema?
God damn it. Stop trying to sell it. We don't want to carry it.
Listeners, if you want to go vote on Twitter for some such thing, yeah, Arch Enema.
Dear Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood if he could.
I would if I could.
Oh, if Elijah Wood's just going to show up and start backing batshit projects, I got a whole backlog of those.
He has, and it's wonderful. That's why I love him for it.
Yeah,
his remake he did of Maniac was really pretty good.
Yeah, I still have.
And he's also responsible for a lot of the Cage films that we've loved too.
He's responsible.
Responsibly.
I know that he was involved with.
Why? I actually love this movie because it is very, very rare that I enjoy a surreal film that fully. And this is one of my top three or four films in that realm that do. But I love it because it kind of tap dances on the same things that I loved about The Exorcist, the book, which they kind of translated to the movie a little, which is the whole, is this real? Is this not? Which they keep going back and forth on almost all the way up to the end, depending on how you take the entire thing. Because it's very likely this is a Birdman situation where none of this was real and everyone was just high as balls at the end of this movie.
Yep, Max Fist just starts flying, you know.
Yeah, well.
Gets naked on stage and shoots himself in the head.
Yes. I mean, who doesn't want to see that?
Well, Max Fist, apparently.
If you want to impress the critics, just shoot yourself in the head.
We do not condone this.
Please don't shoot yourself
in the head. I just said if.
I was kind of I went into it hoping that they would have kept it ambiguous, whether it was real or not. And I do have to say that, like, I was happy with the ending, but I was a little disappointed by the arch enemy character.
Oh, what, that chick?
Lady friend.
Yeah,
his
the wife.
We didn't get a whole lot of her.
Yeah.
Cleo.
That's the big surprise. It's like, hey, I may be the manager, but I have a boss that I have to answer to. It's like, and sure enough, it's the arch enemy.
It's Which Cleo. Give me call.
That's why I said I love it, because of how it just kind of tap dances on that. Because to me, I really think this was all just bullshit in their head. Because it's until he bled.
The Babadook was real.
Just like Madman Mars, just different.
He didn't mean it, Mars!
But yeah, it's like until, and spoilers at the end, when our Max Fist gets shot by his wife, who's a little pissy, he bleeds blue blood. And then you're like, oh my god, this might actually be for real, real.
And it's not dark blue blood either. It's like blue Pepto-Bismol.
Yes, but even until that point, every time Max got his powers, it was when he found there were traces of what he called cosmic blood in methamphetamines. And as soon as he would snort this, he's like, fuck, I'm ready. Let's smash some bad guys.
That's why meth does so well. It's from another world.
I mean. Yes, and he always told Hamster how he never killed anyone. It was a rule. He never, ever killed anyone, but every person he encounters, he absolutely fucking kills.
I absolutely love that, because it's like one scene, no, I never kill people. I never kill people. And then it's like next scene, kill, kill, kill.
Johnny, no one's ever really gone. When you're killing in this universe, you're just banishing them to the other dimension.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's a comic book superhero. Comic book superheroes don't kill people.
He's the first hero from Detroit.
You can tell he's a comic book hero because he goes into comic book vision.
At the end, when big spoilies, when he kind of bookends the movie by running out the window and like bringing her with him, and they're both dying on the cement, And it's kind of like their blood kind of forms a heart around them.
Yes, they're like colorful blue, blood, the red and red. Blue.
Yeah. I don't know if it had truly bookended and they disappeared into the other dimension at the end. I think that's the ending I would have liked. And then Indigo and Hamster are like standing there at the window being like, "The fuck?"
Like, "Rainbow? Ah, I don't want to see this."
Arch enemy.
I kind of see it going Adrian's way just because of the comic book inserts of when Maximus is telling Hamster his story about how he got his blue blood powers and everything. He was mortally wounded and crawling through a crystal cave and came in contact with the cosmic blood, which then entered his body and saved him and gave him powers. Ooh. And that's exactly what happens to Indigo after she's been brutally fucking stabbed by her former employer.
The manager.
And she's just crawling over to Max Fist and boom, his blood supposedly saves her. And she goes off soaring onto an adventure in Earth, but not Earth. And she sees the world as Max Fist saw it. But again, I still really do feel that because it's being told mostly, I want to say, from the perspective of, say, the hamster, that
I like hamster.
He's just seeing this as his way of dealing with it because of exceptional PTS fucking D. He's like, "My sister's not dead. She's fucking flying out adventures. Fuck you. Everyone's dead. What the fuck did I just see?"
I think that's why I would have liked to have had more Max Fist and kind of make it more like They Might Be Giants, you know, where you're literally getting pulled along into somebody else's madness.
Well, you kind of talking about that. The movie They Might Be Giants. I was thinking, like,
yeah, like, people, there's it wasn't just a band.
Killed my doll.
There's a movie with George C. Scott from the early 70s where he's a former judge who goes nuts and thinks he's Sherlock Holmes, and Joanne Woodard is a psychiatrist, Dr. Watson, and they go on an insane adventure of actual insanity, and it's wonderful. It's like the most inspiring thing.
That's kind you're of gonna one heart of the funniest it. Things because Linda had a habit and still somewhat does. Of buying the absolute dirt shittiest fucking movies for me on my birthday or Christmas. Like Tremors 5, skipping all other Tremors films, just to get me Tremors Hell Freezes Over or some shit like that. And then a wonderful film I loved, which was Santa versus Krampus, or A Christmas Horror Story. And it was the funniest, greatest fucking thing ever because there's an underlying story between all the anthology stories it tells of Santa killing all these zombie elves, which by the time you get to the end of the movie, it's a guy who went on a rampage killing people in a mall as a mall Santa. And in his mind, he was at the North Pole killing fucking elves.
I think I also got you like one of the Ghoulies, like that were
no,
were
I
critters.
Wish you fucking did. You got me one of the Part 4 volume pieces of the Puppet Master series.
Oh dear God.
You gave me your copy of Ankle Biters. I mean, I have a slew. I have enough films. I really want to make a shelf of shit. And that's what I want to label it and just put these movies on because there's so much amazing shit.
I do that for books. I have a wall of shame.
Yeah.
I got Adrian Glitter and
you did.
Britney Spears' Crossroads.
You did. Yeah, this is by the way, this is after I got her stuff she actually wanted, like Nicholas Roeg's The Man Who Fell to Earth and The Philadelphia Story in like the classy DVD with the features.
Well, I didn't just give you those.
I know other stuff too. Well, I gave you joke gifts too. I gave you an Alora's Cave Romance with your Philadelphia Story.
Oh, yeah.
We were at Denny's because she was having a classy birthday.
Oh, classy. Yeah. I think that was the same year we had your birthday at Red Robin.
You got to hang the balloons on me and they got to call, "Happy birthday. Yeah, yeah, yay. Happy birthday. It's your birthday."
Going to what you were saying, wanting more Max Fist, we got a good deal of that, and I love that for all the little episodes of him just randomly throwing this shit at Hamster and having it recorded, but then also getting the wonderful animated sequences of batshit insanity.
And he does attack a car.
Yes, yes, he does attack the car.
And it's some shithead who drives a modern Mustang, and I think every one of those needs their cars attacked.
Yeah. But even, like, the thing that made me laugh the most even before it like got far away into it, was when he decides to arm Hamster. So he gives him a gauntlet he made
out of forks.
And it's like looking at it, you're like, are those fucking forks? And yes, indeed, they are.
He really could have messed somebody up with one of those.
And made gauntlets out of them.
That was awesome.
That was classy as fuck. Yeah.
And I have one.
It's like a real weapon. It's like, yeah, no shit, that's like a real fucking weapon. But oh, God, this movie just had so many wonderful little moments like this. And I was happy. I was really happy because it did. It more than fucking fit the theme, because I love the nightmare world that they're fucking living in, and the fact the brother is just kind of not paying attention to what the sister's doing, but she's like, bitch, you don't know what I'm doing for this fucking family, but she's still trying to be nice to him, and meanwhile, he's just this dreaming piece of shit dude that's like, I can't do this, but I can. I call him a piece of shit because he was kind of annoying at first.
Well, he's gonna take you to Hamster's world.
Because it's like, yeah, but that's just it. It's like, how fucking dumb are you that you see a guy selling fake watches on a street corner and drug dealers, and you're putting your phone in
their
face?
And it's like, that's my phone. How could you?
You broke my phone.
Are you some kind of a beast to break my phone? Yeah, it's like, don't be surprised if you go for the extreme close-up and somebody's not into it.
It's like, oh, I broke your phone. Oh, damn. It's like, damn, you scab, you selling fake watches. I ain't selling fake watches out here. I don't know what you're talking about.
When I worked at the Hollywood Video, I had a customer who wore a watch face and the innards were taken out, and inside instead was a picture of Jack White. Because it's always time for Jack White.
Oh,
love
God.
You, Tia. Speaking of not enough of something, I don't think we're getting enough of Amy.
Amy?
Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
It's all about the money, folks. So, Arch Enemy, it happened in general release on December the 11th of 2020, you know, the distant past. I did not find a reported budget. You know, people are shy about those these days. But this made $136,000. It was modest. It opened at number 18 behind stuff like The Croods 2 and Come Play.
Oh.
I know, it's not fair.
Donnie, weren't you talking about Come
Yeah,
Play?
He was talking to us about Come Play, because that's the Babadook knockoff from America.
Come Play.
And the other movies ahead of it, there were a shitload of re-releases in December for some reason. Like, they re-released Die Hard, and they re-released How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and they re-released Elf with Will Ferrell, and it's like, I know they're making movies, they're getting dumped to streaming. If you're going to put a thing in the theaters, shouldn't it at least be new?
Yeah, but they also put out the Back to the Future films, the Jurassic Park, Ghostbusters even, so.
Shouldn't count those, though. Fucking dildos. So anyway, fuck you, America. You paid to see the wrong movies in December. Fuck you all. I'll never forgive you. Yep.
And I would like to mention the fact that it is co-written by Adam Egypt Mortimer.
Guy who did Daniel Ain't Real.
Daniel Isn't Real was really good.
That was a really good movie too. Yeah.
That was enjoyable.
God damn you monkey butts. What the fuck?
I don't know what he was doing, and it seemed like the cool thing to do.
Life started, but I wasn't prepared for it.
God damn it.
That's why you get your face bashed in. You don't have the cosmic blood.
But the other guy who co-wrote it was Luke Passmore, who also did Trick or Treat. Well, no, I think he was like additional, like one of the crew members for that. He hasn't written a lot, but he did do the story for Slaughterhouse Rules with a Z. You can find that on
the Slaughterhouse Shutter. Rules, starring Michael Caine.
Slaughterhouse Rules. and a bunch of webisodes of The Walking Dead. So, yeah, not a lot, but I mean, you know.
I forgot that's still a thing.
It's still a thing, apparently.
Look, is it? Somebody no. made a graphic novel in just one color, and then some dickwad made it into a show, and everybody sucked its dick forever.
I don't know. Yeah, I liked the comic, and I liked the show when it was beginning.
You would.
That's what I mean. The show is still going on, as is the runoff show, and there's supposed to be a movie.
Oh.
It just needs to end. I think they're finally going to end it, but I'm
everything needs to end.
Yes, Neil Breen.
I sort of liked in the beginning where they had the brothers Daryl and Merle, which made me think of a Newhart show with Larry, his brother Daryl, and his other brother Daryl.
Daryl and Merle, were they the ones who broke Hempstead's cell phone then? Or were they working at the web place where he's like, I'm going to be a reporter?
He's a plucky reporter. So, anywho, yeah. What made you choose this movie, Johnny?
As I said, part of it was because I felt it really did fit the theme of what our irate customer was yelling and screaming at us for. But it was also because I like to show that I do actually enjoy and do get some surreal fucking movies.
I guess you do wet your hair down sometimes.
Well, I have to. Otherwise, I get shit on more than usual. And we don't always like getting shit on, even though we do and get thrown under buses so often we have a little room there. But I digress. It's just, I don't know. This thing, it's one of those, like, a lot of my movies I like, same as you, Adrian. There's certain movies that it seems not a lot of people know anything about or even fucking heard of.
Seems to be the case with this one.
People that never heard of this fucking thing that I've talked to, but when they've seen it, they're like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. It really doesn't get the kind of love that, say, Psycho Gorman got, which it did fucking deserve.
Yeah,
and people really did push that film. But this one just kind of fell under that category of people just either didn't hear about it because of how it was very not advertised, or they just felt like it wasn't their cup of tea because they thought of Mandy and Nick Cage and Tidy Whiteys and a tiger jersey, and they just said, I don't want this again.
Everybody should think well of that.
Good. I mean, even that's kind of something I was going to talk about later with our discussion. There are a lot of fucking ties with this and fucking Mandy. I mean, it's almost like you could say it's all the same fucking universe, which would make sense if they were just taking the drugs from Mandy and brought them into the city here and gave people the cosmic blood.
There is a lot of work to give it the same flavor there. You know, like, yeah, maybe the same caterpillars made the same stuff. You know?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was in Mandy, it was a lot more just drug-related crazy shit going on. But in this, it was just kind of there. I want to kind of say almost from the get-go, because you had Max Fist building the world and everything in this for everyone, and you started believing in it until he starts absolutely pounding people's faces inside their bodies. And then you're like, oh my God, this guy is just a coked up asshole.
And then Hamster has to go and turn on him. Fucking Fairweather friend. Fuck.
Hamster, again, he did a lot of stupid stuff, even in film terms. Like when you're being chased by drug dealers and you're hiding with your sister, but your boss finds you and it's like, oh hey, why don't you come with me, buddy? It's like, oh okay, yeah. I guess that's safe.
I'll
to
just
do.
Trust you, shifty internet website lady.
I'm gonna leave my sister here. Just
leave
her a
leave
note.
My sister here because Epstein didn't kill himself. It just kind of goes from there.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I really feel this film deserves a lot more love. And it's one of those that I felt I wanted to expose you all to, because I knew there's a very high chance you all didn't see it.
You were
even
correct.
Sadly, but funny enough, the first time I saw this was because a friend told me about it and gave me a freaking YouTube link for this film. Ooh. Because it was somebody posted it on YouTube, and that's where it's been for the longest time.
God.
Until it finally came out to video on demand. And I paid for that movie to have it because I'm like, I like weird shit and I want to own this.
I think we can safely say that. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. What?
No, I said, I think we can safely say that people should have been paying to see this instead of The Croods 2.
Yeah, yeah, well, I like the Croods too, but absolutely, they should have been seeing this, and it shouldn't have been 18 on the list. But at the same time, that creates a hidden gem. And
did Johnny just say he enjoyed the Croods too?
Yes, I did. I said I enjoyed the Croods too when we did the episode. Hmm.
Well, did I enjoy shitting on the Croods too? That's another matter.
Yeah.
Mostly, well, I like predicting the Croods too.
Yes, that was the funnest part.
Birth of consent.
I was just going to say that I'm pretty sure that he is correct, that there is a fraction, a trace of cosmic blood in amphetamines, because that's what makes my Adderall make me super.
People are going to show up to your house and try to
say super ever.
I'm sorry.
say super. Say super again, motherfucker.
Which I fucking love to death. He's like, oh, I got you some beer and I got you some food. He's like, fuck your food. Give me the beer. Yeah.
You got to get down to business.
Hey, like, I can ingest so much beer because beer on Earth is weaker than from where I am from, but still the same.
Also, I'm like a stage 11 alcoholic. I can't have food anymore.
Yeah. Does it kind of make you think of our cousin Steve?
Like, it does, but honestly, I still, like, the first, second, third, and tenth time I saw this, I kept thinking back to Grumpy Old Men. When the dad's like, I eat a plate of bacon for breakfast and lunch, and I usually drink my dinner.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty much how he is. He drinks his meals and he drinks his drink.
One shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner.
Yes.
Ooh-ah. Thank you, Tommy Lasorda.
Contains a whole stick of butter in every can.
Oh, deep fry that butter.
Speaking of deep frying
he
that butter.
He says in between sips of his Pillsbury dough, biscuit dough.
I drink my croissants.
Oh my God, don't tempt me.
Flaky goodness.
It's got that butter flavor in it.
It's a cosmic blood right here.
If you put butcher flavor inside methamphetamines, it might catch on more.
No, dude, this is like some cosmic bud, you know? Whoa.
It's blue like blueberries, but it tastes like snozzberries.
Can we talk about the meal that the Sister Indigo made for him? The spirulina balls that were like
blue balls.
No, what
my
was
favorite
that?
Color blue.
What was that?
It was like cobalt blue.
I didn't know what that was, okay?
Spirulina balls.
Yes.
But, like,
tell the viewers and mostly me what the hell that is.
Maybe we should make a recipe.
Maybe you should just explain yourself.
I'm going to Google that. I'm going to Google this for science.
I will Google nothing.
Science!
I have others do this for me.
Oh. Here we go.
Spirulina balls.
Pepita blue spirulina is like bliss. Pumpkin seeds.
Bliss.
Isn't it?
Bliss balls?
What?
I mean...
blue spirulina bliss balls.
Oh, bliss.
Yeah. He's got the spirulina
I'm rather upper class high society.
Mother of God. These look delicious compared to what she made was a monstrosity on screen.
Honestly, like, I didn't think that was food. I thought she was just cooking up some fucking drugs.
I thought
well,
so,
too. Well, that's what I said. I thought she had taken some cosmic blood. She's just kind of like, here, eat this. Like in cartoons, how you see what they have for dinner. And you're like, did you just take some Campbell's, pour on a plate, and then put Fritos on top of it? What the fuck is this?
But they were like my favorite color, cobalt blue.
Well, here we go.
That's your favorite color?
Oh.
The recipe for spirulina bliss balls is almond butter, coconut flake, hemp hearts, gluten-free oats, three dates, blue spirulina, cardamom, cinnamon, sea salt, and a splash of oat.
If I made it, I'm putting the gluten back in.
I gotta get some glutens. Working on my glutes.
Gluten is vitamins to Adrian.
The goots working on his glutes.
Gluteus maximus.
Speaking of recipes.
This is bituminous.
Yes.
So,
what do you want to speak about?
No, I wonder if Donnie had some recipes.
Well, I think I do. but they're more recipes for disaster.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Now I can tell you my story.
That's right.
Okay.
Shouldn't it be whiskey?
I love you, yeah, Chromium.
Well.
Good night. Whiskey.
Did you say yum yum cum? What?
Yum yum cum me some.
Yummy yummy, I want your cummies.
I'm Max Fiston.
This compilation video is going to be neat later. Okay.
We have a couple dissertations, but nothing insane, though we do get into the insanity.
Nobody's naming their roommate who made them watch it and giving their address?
No, and I really want to find more of those.
Those are so great.
Well, we can make those. Like Adrian.
Yes, we're going to start fabricating reviews for the show because fuck reality.
Thomas Keller, who lives on 38th Street, made me watch this. You need to go to his house and beat him up.
Yeah, well, see, just I'm going to just...
We can review ourselves on Apple Podcasts.
All the movies we could do. I'm going to write reviews for because it's not on this world. It's on another world, but it's similar to this one, but different. And I can do that and get away with it. So fuck the police.
Fuck the police. Straight from the underground.
So,
pigs.
I thought it might be a good film to watch for family night. That was your first mistake. But it was just weird. We kept hoping it would get better, but it just continued in its awfulness. The end is just relief that it's over. I don't know what all the great reviews are about. Maybe there are some superhero fans that got the intentions of the film. But if you're just a casual movie watcher looking for a good movie, this is not it. Again, if you're having family night watching this, I mean, I would like to be there when they watch Sliver rather, because Sharon Stone shoving spoons up her crotch.
Only Adrian Lyne had made that, you know, they could have been putting Dayquil in there and playing, "You can leave your hat on."
There was a part with Paul Scheer's character, like after he's dead, where he's like laying on the bed, and there's just this one moment where it looks like you got sideball action and side package action outside of his tidy readies. Yeah. And I was like, I even rewound and I was like, did you just see the sideball? And
it was just like Three's Company. It was great.
But instead they have like the blanket over his leg, but in the next scene, blanket's not on the leg. So the question is, did they just like suck for continuity, or were they like, did they digitally add that blanket in because he was showing sideball?
Well, continuity's hard, I mean, like
they could have edited it in, but that would have taken like a huge part of their unknown budget to do
which
so,
which probably wasn't huge.
But it could have been like. Scheer was like, "Hey, you paid for me, but you didn't pay for these boys. I need money for their appearance."
Dear Paul Scheer, did we see your sideball?
Just unfurls balls only out the side of his boxer shorts, you know, just kind of holding them out. Yes.
Hello,
like
he's, there,
like he's an old timey guy checking his watch. You know?
I'm really hoping it was side package, but whatever. Continue,
yes. Soldiering
Fourth, yes.
This movie, wow, what can I say? The pacing is very slow at first, which isn't bad, because I figured it was setting up characters, world building, etc. But it was a bit too much setup without any real payoff later in the movie. By the third act, it felt very detached and almost like a different movie altogether. The ending was complete nonsense, even for a superhero movie. Seeing the trailer, I expected much more, but what sorely disappointed I was. It feels like the director, writer, doesn't take the genre of comic book heroes seriously enough to bother telling an actual good story that has meaning and heart. And this film has neither.
Oh my God.
The supposed hero himself lacks any real motivation or drive until the end of the second act. And it just comes out of nowhere. There were so many opportunities to really set up and pay off some dynamics of this film, such as Hamster's hero worship of Max Fist and the potential bond they shared, but none of it ever came to fruition. There was one attempt at a payoff towards the end, but it was so weak I felt nothing for it. Also, Indigo had potential, but she was underdeveloped as a caricature. I felt nothing for her. Even when she eventually stepped up
to the streets.
Because you're mine, I stomp the line.
It's an Ots thing. You guys wouldn't get it.
Then the villains of this movie are ridiculous, to say the least. None of them seem to be any real threat at all.
Jeez, this is a long
one. Was surprising, given how gritty the movie appears to be. This movie, above what it deserves, because it does not deserve a 5-star. The Legion M project, oh God, he just blathered off.
My God, this man, like this, so verbose.
There, some of these reviews have so many errors. It's
he's got a lot of what you call them, you know.
Yeah, the shakes.
Yeah.
Because it does not deserve a 5-star review, that is for sure, I wouldn't trust any of these 5-star reviews. They're trying to say they don't trust these reviews.
If your review disagrees with him, it's wrong.
I bought this movie to support, and this is the same dissertation.
Yeah.
I bought this movie to support Glenn Howerton, big Always Sunny fan, but I regret it. The best way I could describe this movie is to imagine some teenager watched too many superhero movies, didn't have an original thought, and didn't have any writing skill, and therefore just took the most cliche parts of each other superhero movie, also had no directing or cinematography skills, those are two things, but found a big bag of money, though not big enough. Use it to put a movie together. If you walk away from seeing this movie without concluding you had better things to do with your time, you should reassess your life.
Why do people keep reading this as a superhero movie, though? Like, I think their expectations are just in the wrong place. Like,
I felt like it was very original
for Family Night. I think that they kind of got the wrong idea about this film.
Like at the very beginning, there were a couple kernels in that review that made sense, but when he started talking about respect for the superhero genre, that guy went completely off the rails, and then he just went to crazy town.
Well, it kind of reminded me of this. I'm not going to mention the group, even though I love them. They were talking online about the out of touch cool dads. You watch movies with them and like, hey, I got this really cool, super fun vampire movie. And then they pull out Twilight and you're like, you really bought that? It's like, yeah, it's a popular movie. It's really cool. So let's watch a cool
you
vampire
kids
movie.
Like these things, right? I'm cool. Yes. Like you.
It's kind of like the grandparents that go to the pharmacy for your birthday at the last minute and then bring you whatever they bought at the counter, which I mean, it's not bad, but you know, it pharmacy gifts, won't you?
I felt like it was an original story. I mean, it's not typical or you know, like I didn't feel like it was a ripoff of anything. And
I think there were strong intentions, and it shows through quite a bit. So it's not just hack work, and it's not a superhero movie, and it's really not fair to go and like compare this to your bullshit DCU MCU crap that you masturbate with.
No. Well, there was a lot of reviews I had to sift through because a lot of people kept comparing this to like a ripoff of Hancock.
And yeah, it's like, but Hancock was never good at all. Like nobody should remember Hancock. It's just another Will Smith turd.
Yeah, he needed the money and it showed.
It's like,
but again, it's two different beasts entirely. Yeah. And this thing, like Linda said, and I agree, it's telling its own story. It's original enough that it's doing so, and it keeps your interest with it.
It's original enough.
So I don't see how these people didn't get that from that. But at the same time, I can say the same of surreal movies that you all absolutely loved. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, movies, this is the thing about movies nobody really appreciates. Like, everybody makes fun of the big, expensive turd movies, right?
Yeah.
And what they don't understand is that those movies, as bad as they wound up being, had something over the popular movies, is that they were not afraid to make choices. If a movie has something in it that you can make fun of, it means that they had the balls to make a choice. Sure, it was the wrong choice, but you remember it. You're going to remember it the rest of your life. Like it's like there's no reason to ever watch it again, but Jupiter Ascending, God help us all, made choices. Terrible, terrible choices. But this is the thing. It's like every year, a couple of years, there's a gigantic turd like that, and everybody just like, oh god, it's awful. I'm gonna go back to my safe MCU DCU movies. Like, it's like, yeah. It's like, you guys are taking the wrong fucking lesson. They had the balls to try a thing, and you should rise to the occasion and also try, and not just go back to the safe shit that doesn't.
Well, and I was just talking about Will Smith the other day, like saying that it's unfortunate because he keeps, like, he's actually an amazing actor. He's fantastic. He's immensely talented, but he just keeps taking these shit roles.
Well, he makes terrible choices, Will Smith, like, consistently.
He really does. He's, like, I mean,
he keeps showing layers of an inner creepiness with stuff like After Earth and all that, and I'm like, I don't think I'm okay with this anymore. I don't think I'm going to watch Bad Boys 3,
something,
you know?
Like 6 Degrees of Separation, and it's like, damn, he can act. But you've got shit like that, or the Colin Firth joint. What the hell was that?
Oh god. I don't know. I couldn't stand him at all. And it's a recent comparison I made with talking to other people as well, with him playing Deadshot in the Suicide Squad movie.
Oh,
and then Idris Elba playing the same character, but actually giving a shit.
No, actually, one of the big reasons that I never saw the first Suicide Squad is because of seeing that trailer and seeing Will Smith's like, oh, look, Will Smith's doing his Will Smith thing again.
That's just it. He just stays with his gimmick.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of ruins it.
It's like, I'm going to put on a fake African accent and pretend to be this doctor who, in fact, isn't that accented.
Bringing James Gunn to, like, Suicide Squad was the best fucking thing they could have done. And I know it's off topic, but I gotta say, like, while I was watching Suicide Squad from the fucking get-go, I was just like, I was back in love with James Gunn and Troma and everything beautiful. This is exactly what it should have been from the get-go.
I never stopped loving
him. He wrote Romeo and Juliet. It's such an achievement.
Yes.
He
and
knows
Slither
he
was
did.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I do love him. Bad. But I'm just saying it was a great reminder of why we love him.
Yeah, but I don't know. To me, it's this movie, like other superhero movies, especially Marvel movies. The Marvel movies used to take a lot of risk with things. Mm-hmm. And again, like a recent film discussion had talked about, and it's still something I used to love joking about, there are jokes in a lot of the earlier Marvel movies they would not pull off today.
Yeah.
And it's just because they don't want to risk offending anyone or just possibly going a little over that line.
Yeah.
Because they have become such an algorithm with these films.
Completely.
That they're less about an actual story that the character you're going there to see is based on and more a setup for what's going to happen at the end that's going to tell us what movie to look forward to next time. Because that's all people give a shit about is what comes after.
It's all the way back to Red Sky continuity, am I right?
Yeah. It's like if they just did standalone films without knowing there's going to be a continuation with it, it might actually have some more heart to it, something better to make it memorable. But even as okay or sometimes good as Marvel films can be, by and large, a lot of them are forgettable.
Yeah.
Because they all just blend in together. And it's just...
Well,
eventually
I feel like Taika Waititi like broke free from the, did a good job of breaking free from the norm, But I'm a big Taika Waititi fan, so I mean,
I know, but Waititi. Also you have to realize all these people are doing something to a Disney formula.
Yeah.
So you have to work within the confines of that. But this is also why Disney has been using a lot of people that mostly lately have been somewhat known, somewhat underground. They haven't been big names because they've kind of learned their lessons with those people, big names, that they don't always play ball with them the way they want them to.
No, they don't want an auteur. They want somebody whose strings they can pull.
But yes, we have Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, to thank for bringing back our precious baby boy, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
That was a long time ago, Linda. You need to get with Kurt.
He knew what he did.
She know what she created. Did you have any more dissertations on that list there?
No, okay. I didn't want to go. Because
well, the second guy wrote a fucking book, so.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, please do.
I was just going to ask if you had any medical advice.
I might know a doctor.
Yeah, that's the one.
I believe Adrian. I will go first. Yes.
Yes, go first. Please.
I call this Crystal Fist.
God damn it.
See, Zemro has passed through the barrier to try to stop the Null Machine. There's a new drug that has hit the streets. And only Zemro knows that the Null Machine, or the half of it that they have, is the thing that makes the drug. The other half might be an atomic bomb. But this drug is so good, it's almost as good as having sex. But nothing feels as good as having sex. Crystal Fist features Tymac as Rat King, Vanity as Indigo, Nicholas Hill as Zemro, Anne Carlisle as Margaret Ventrix, Clint Howard as the manager.
Yes.
Music by Toto, directed by Samuel Fuller. Now, of course, in this version, the guy from the other world has pointed ears and he has to wear his hat to cover them.
Linda, you go.
Well, naturally, I want to see what happened originally in his universe, timeline, whatever, reality. Because they only allude to it. Like, is his wife really a villain? Or was she just trying to save everybody from him? Because they hint that he killed fucking everybody.
Well, she may kill a robot.
He's a hero no one asked for.
Well, yeah, like he puts it like he was their savior, their protector, and he loved them and they loved him.
Just like Oliver North.
She's like...
Oliver North.
But then she comes along and says, like, yeah, you kind of killed everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they did not love you. So I would like to see what really happened on their planet. But I would also like to see a Max Fist movie with Jodie Foster playing the Fist.
Jodie Foster is the Fist in real life. She doesn't need a movie for that.
Just like the Beaver.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think Arch Enemy said that to him. She said
Fist that Beaver.
He was, I think her line was that he was the hero that nobody wanted or nobody asked for because he was killing people, and her whole career was trying to find how to kill him and ways to do so to stop him from doing it. And that's why she ended up hating him at the end because he actually tried to kill her.
Well, he was the hero that Gotham deserved.
Fist hole through it.
I'm just saying, yeah, I'd like to see he came to our world and was a harmless street bum, and she came to our world and dealt drugs. I'm just saying.
I want to see Max fisting Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Oh, you're going to talk around my hand.
Good God, y'all.
Starring Mel Gibson. God damn it.
I will show you the way of the Fist.
just walk away.
Love Fist coming this fall.
God damn it. Donnie.
So.
Oh, boy.
I may have had a few more of cosmic blood infusions.
Oh, boy.
But, Max Fist, Hamster, and Indigo have teamed up and sworn to rid the city of corruption, filth, and all oppositions to justice. The trio ingest large quantities of cosmic blood and set out to destroy the new great evil overshadowing the lands. An evil deformed clown with fire for hair and razors for teeth. A sultry demoness with a loyal, lustful army of simping men and women. A globe-headed entity known as Jack. And at the head of the Ring of Evil sits a bearded being of unknown origin, known only as the King. Blood will paint the streets as Max serves over a million death blows. Indigo will punish the hot and juicy lust lords and their malevolent militant militia.
What in the hell?
And Hamster will cook up justice when you order it. All leading to the greatest drug-fueled standoff as the three band together to defeat a whopper of a nemesis. The King...
Oh, God.
This is called The King. It is directed by David Dakota. It is a Richard Brand film presented by Troma Entertainment with music by James Horner and the digital mastery of ILM presented in IMAX Digital 3D 4K at 60 frames per second. Yes, they are on drugs. Yes, they're fighting against McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and Jack in the Box.
The Blu-ray comes with a packet of zesty sauce.
Yes, because you're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
God damn it.
Oh.
Come to me, my kitty.
Oh,
no.
My melancholy kitty.
Rodolfo keeps tooting again.
What like, the hell would you?
I prefer a pirate kitty cuddles than okay. Rodolfo toots.
I may have the tidiest room of us three. This is the strange and scary part.
Perhaps.
True.
Somebody's a Scritter's team of kidders.
I still think it's worthy discussing.
Yes.
Oh, God. Clarissa.
Again, kind of like I hinted at going back to the world of Mandy, how both of these movies have to sort of deal with sort of vengeance in a way and unfinished business, but they're all fueled by drugs. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, depending, again, how you take the ending on Max Fist actually being a superhero, possible villain, but they still have to do drugs in order to have these powers, and even his arch enemy was talking about the drugs that she was having made with the formula to do so, thus, in some kind of way, spreading his power to everyone else out there.
Yeah, it's possible. That's how it's got to work. Either everybody has the cosmic blood or nobody has it. Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah. But it's just, again, it's like when you were watching Mandy, you had sort of the real world and the
cosmic cat butt. Sorry.
All kind of in one thing because you had moments where it's like, okay, you see Nicolas Cage's view while he's drug-fueled and happy because everything is painted like an 80s magical novel. But then you go switching back to reality where he's covered in blood and he's not in an awesome superhero outfit. He's in a fucking jersey and underwear and he's smothered in blood.
Yeah. Screaming.
Yeah, as we all do. But, I mean, there are ties to that in this film, and I just wondered if you all kind of made that same leap or if you had something to add to that.
Well, I did feel like there was a lot of use of Mandy flavor in this, and it's probably resulted in some of the better moments there. I think I would have been better sold on this if this thing had done a little bit more of the trance kind of thing that Panos Cosmatos would do, where you would do the sort of David Lynch, Coen Brothers kind of thing, where you have these moments Because this movie and frankly most movies and like some of Coppola's efforts is that a lot of movies are very montage-y. You know, like all movies are montages, yeah. All movies are editing, this one, like quite a few, had the thing where it would lapse into a lot of montages, and I think I would have been more sold if it had sort of gone the other direction, where you get the bit where you're actually uncomfortably, like, lingering with the movie. So, you know, because that way, because watching a movie, even if you're full on watching it or just kind of have it on, like there's quite often, a movie will quite often just sort of wash over you and make less of an impression. When you get moments like that, where all of a sudden, you know, like you get those low tones on the soundtrack and you're like, oh my God, this shit's happening. You know, just put you right there, right in there with it, you know, like from Beyond the Black Rainbow, you know, it's like, you're not going anywhere.
I watched this with Carlo, and we were kind of making that tie between Beyond the Black Rainbow and this again. Mm. And we just recently watched The Green Knight, and we're also talking about the ties between those. But Green Knight was awesome. You guys should check it out.
But I don't know. I agree with you on that, because there's a lot of things like it felt like they kind of touched on the Mandyverse stuff, like literally when he busts a fucking hole in the wall where he could have been screaming, ah, my teeth are all jittery. Pow. And he's like, I can see forever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just another room, man. He's like, oh shit. Yeah. Well, fuck you. This is the other world. This is not another room. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like, it just kind of felt like you were touching that, because you still have, they really did keep not only just the kind of lighting style.
Yeah. The lighting style is a lot.
The pink glowing light, which even
a lot of the colors
comes in and fucking the other movie that they were tied with, Color Out of Space.
Yeah.
But I mean, they kind of touch with that, and then again, they go with the animation style.
Yeah.
But that was something also at the end that kind of got me, because I still honestly believe that they all did die, and the brother just has to deal with that now. But who the fuck flew off with her when she flew off on screen? Because it wasn't just Indigo; there was someone else with her. But the brother made it sound like it was both of them protecting the city now, but that dude didn't get no blood on him. But no, it's, if you watch it, there's two figures. There's a blue light and a red light that take off together.
Maybe he rolled around in it.
Yeah, like
the spirulina balls gave him the
superpowers. Like, what are you doing? That's my spirulina balls. Like, oh, balls. I thought it was blue blood. Like, you crazy son, bitch.
But yeah, the point is that it was alien private eye.
It is blood.
Yeah. She's gonna be Superman and he's gonna be Batman. It's one of them has powers, the other just has wealth. Yeah. Like, tell me, do you bleed? Oh. Yeah, well.
So now, I suppose this is the part where I say, please listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama on Apple Podcasts and all the other podcast platforms, because it, especially with Apple Podcasts, because it helps other people find us. It helps us immensely, especially since we're just really starting. And it will earn you an on-air shout-out. Also, check out our stuff on YouTube. You can see our party face.
Yeah, faces.
Our party faces. And Donnie's cosmic cat butt. And
meow.
Also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod. I just secured us finally some stickers and buttons. Ooh. So definitely go check it out. We have a lot of amazing stuff on there. And we've been also thinking about some pretty amazing things to give away on there. So stay tuned. And with that in mind, I would love to thank the amazing, gorgeous, sexalicious Chris Roberts for his review of on Apple Podcasts. He is amazing. And check out his show.
I thought you were going to mention your husband again.
No. He is sexalicious, though.
Husband, I will trouble you no more.
Thank you, Dracula. But check out his show as well. As it's I Saw It on Linden Street. It's actually a really amazing show, and it's still to this day, I think my favorite episode of Bedknobs and Broomflicks is the one that he guested on, so definitely check that one out. But thank you so much, Chris. We really appreciate it, and your help.
And I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
We tolerate you.
And remember, you can find Videorama on Twitter at Videorama P. That's the letter P. You can visit our website at videoramapod.com, and you can write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. And if you can visit our Twitter account on, at VideoramaP, every month you can take part in the poll to decide who had the better choice of the month, the best recommendation, and that person wins the employee of the month. And Donnie may or may not be working on an award for that. It's a trophy. But yeah, check us out.
Somebody here is a winner.
Adrian, where can the fine people find you?
Oh, little old me. Oh, I'm still on the DeviantArt. I'm Leo the Fox on DeviantArt.com. Lowercase LEOTHEFOX. I may have artworks appearing on some graphics card plates soon via Knight Owl. We'll see about that. I'm also on the Patreon, also under Leo the Fox. The picture behind me today is an image that's on my Patreon. Actually, you should show up there, see the whole thing, give me some money. And on DeviantArt, of course, I got a shitload of stories. A whole bunch of them have recent chapters that have gone up there. You should definitely check those out, because I know you're hanging on every word, even though you're not actually faving them or giving them page views. Just know that's happening. I have faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on YouTube. And, come find me. Yeah.
If you go to our website, thevideoramapod.com, or if you go to cageskiss.com, you can also see Adrian's art. He has a page there. Donnie has a page for Donnie's reviews. We have a page for my other podcast, Bedknobs and Broomflicks, where we talk about witches and stories and history of all kinds, and occasionally about awesome heroic animals as our favorite familiars. But yeah, you could check out a lot of stuff on there. You could check out our old stuff as Cage's Kiss, and you could check out our movie newts from Videorama. And Donnie, where can the people find you? Punching a hole in the wall.
I'd like to apologize right now because I just realized I may have cut you off during your recitation when Adrian was going into his. So okay. I apologize. But I can be found, yes, punching holes with my concrete penis through brick walls because concrete is stronger than dick bricks. I also am Unreal Goals on the Twitter as well as the YouTube. And I'm Stilgar the Tweetlet?
Thought so.
On Instagram? Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of somewhere there, I think. And yes, as Linda mentioned, I do reviews, and I will be reviewing Black Widow soon. Oh. Spoilers, it sucked dick. But not in an enjoyable way.
Wait. That movie hit Teresa Russell. It was fine. What's wrong with you? Barbara Hershey and everything?
I weep for the generation.
I think you will find that the strongest thing in the world is metal, followed closely by dynamite and muscles.
Well, you can't stop rock and roll, as Dee Snider has taught us very well. So I agree, metal is the strongest substance in the world. But I digress. I think that's about all you can know about me without me having to sue you or take you to court over something else of a legality. I am not ingesting anything illegal, but cosmic blood, it is blood. So I guess we're all cosmic vampires?
Stay out of the daylight.
Yeah.
And next week I'll be giving my recommendation for reality
no
is the Nightmare.
Freaking way. No way.
Is it Hemorrhoids 3?
No, it's going to be Pan's Labyrinth.
We say this now?
I say this now.
It keeps changing.
I might bleep it later.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out, won't you?
Check it.
Yep. Two breasts taken out of there by the TNT sensors. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But once again, death to Videorama. Long live the new flesh.
What? And don't forget to hit that like button. Ring the bell if you
hey
like
fam,
it.
Hey, fam, smash
hit
that like button
so you know we drop new content. And that's all.
You guys, it's 3 a.m. I'm getting a call from Wario, you guys. It's from the dark web.
Oh, wow.
If we can get 3,000 subscribers, Donnie's going to show his titties.
They're milkies.
You could just look at my artworks and see all that male ass crack that you were looking for.
But if you want to watch Pan's Labyrinth, it's available streaming now on Netflix. So
why isn't it in English? I don't get it.
This is why I punch walls.